Well, it's such a pleasure to be with you here tonight. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5, and that'll be our text for this evening. I just want you to know, and your pastor to know, that I don't take the opportunity to share the Word of God lightly here in this church. For a pastor to give up his pulpit, it's a big thing, and it should be. And so we're going to try to do our best to really share our heart with you this evening. And a pastor had posed the question, you know, why would you take your family, four small children, to a faraway place called Mongolia? And I believe we can answer that from the Word of God. And so we're going to try to do that this evening. You know, most pastors start, or preachers start their message off with a few jokes, icebreakers, you know. And I had something at home I wished I had brought based on pastor's illustration this morning with the deodorant. And it's 12 reasons why a missionary should not wear deodorant. And I tried to find it online. I couldn't find it. I'll have to send it on, and maybe you can see that. But we are so grateful to be here, and it's hard to adequately express our appreciation for all of you. I think the best way to do it would just be to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we just feel like we have a whole new set of friends here in Daytona Beach, and we know that you will be praying for us, as many of you have said that you will throughout the day, and that means so much. You know, we hear this often, well, you're our heroes because you're going, and I appreciate that sentiment, but I want you to know that you are our heroes for praying for us and holding the rope, so to speak, while we go to Mongolia. We could not do what God has called us to do if it weren't for local churches like this one supporting us in prayer. I gave the quote this morning, and I think it'd be appropriate to give it now. I believe it was Hudson Taylor that said, prayer is not preparation for the work, prayer is the work. And to the extent that God's people here in the United States are praying for us, that's the extent that we're going to be effective in Mongolia. And we can give our lives and do all that God asks of us, and we can be effective as much as possible, but without God's people praying that God will open doors and reach people, it'll be to no avail. And so I'm not meaning to put a burden of, well, maybe I am. I'm asking you to take our prayer card and pray for us that God will do something special. I believe that we're in the last days. We see signs all around us. And one day, you know, my granddaddy used to talk about the return of Christ, and he thought it was for his day. My parents had thought that the Lord would come in their day, and of course they're still living. I've thought that the Lord would come before now, and things get worse and worse. The Apostle Paul thought that the Lord was going to come in his day. But one of these days, Jesus Christ will come, and there will be no more time for us to work. There will be no more souls to bring into the kingdom. We will have no more opportunities, and I just want to take every moment that we have in this last day to reach people. There's only two things we're going to take with us. You know, God's Word is not going to pass away. And our time invested in the precepts of God's Word is well worth it. It's an eternal investment. But the other thing we can take with us is the souls of men and women, boys and girls, that we've introduced to Jesus Christ. And if we'll be faithful to do that, He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you've turned over to Mark chapter 5, let's read the passage here. And we're just going to read a few verses, but we'll continue to refer to this. You might also want to stick your finger over in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read a couple of verses there and share a few other scriptures with you. Let's read verse 1, chapter 5 there in Mark. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the reading of his word. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for the opportunities that you've presented us. We thank you that one day, maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor, Maybe it was a gospel tract. Some way you got the gospel to us, and we have the opportunity to receive Christ. And what a wonderful experience it is with you every day. But now there is a lost and dying world from Daytona Beach all the way around to Mongolia and points beyond that needs to hear the gospel. Help our hearts to be burdened to pray. Help us just to do our part, whatever you ask us to do, and we'll give you the praise and glory. Now bless your word and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to point to an overarching, what I believe is a principle, something we can look at God's Word anywhere in the Bible and see before we get into the points that I have for you here tonight, and that is that the purposes of God, obviously, are to glorify Himself. God wants to bring glory to Himself, not because of His own ego, but for our benefit. And to show, we heard it this evening, to show all His glorious love. But He manifests that purpose in redemption, doesn't He? We can see redemption from one end of the Bible all the way through to the other end. God making available His redemption to man. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ as the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. And God knew that you and I were going to need a sinner here in we were going to be sinners. We were going to need a Savior here in Daytona Beach tonight. And He sent Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? And I believe that all of God's purposes sort of wrap around that in a sense. I believe that the provision of God is for the furtherance of the gospel. I believe that the plan of God for our lives has to do with reaching people. You know, think about it. Sometimes we get so self-centered, don't we? We think about our needs, and we do have needs, and God wants to meet those needs. But you know, if it were just about meeting our needs, He'd take us home to heaven, wouldn't He? The minute we got saved, He'd transport us to those streets of gold where we don't have any need for financial help, wouldn't He? If it was a point of fellowship and a greater experience with Him, well, we're going to fellowship with Jesus Christ face to face in heaven, aren't we? It's so much better over there, and He can bless us in so many greater ways over there, and yet He has a work for us to do here. And that's why we're still here on this earth, is to reach people. And if we'll see that in the purposes of God, then we can see the lesson that I believe God is giving to His disciples here, and of course, in turn, giving to us. The first point I'd like us to see is the personal nature of sin. The personal nature of sin. People ask me, why are you going to Mongolia? Because it's a personal thing. Sin damages and hurts the lives of men and women, boys and girls. It's not something we view the masses, the billions of people. They say 6.7 billion people in this world today. And it's easy to think of missions as some global outreach, and yet it's a very personal thing. It's person to person, reaching individuals that have been wrecked by sin. Maybe you can remember the time when Jesus reached down to you. You remember the change that it made in your life. It was personal, wasn't it? Sin damages and brings destruction and heartache. And Jesus Christ came to fix that. Sin is a personal thing, the personal nature of sin. Let's see how this was personal for this man in our passage. First of all, I'd like us to see that he had his dwelling among the tombs. This man was living in the graveyard. And it's so analogous to our experience, isn't it? I'd just like us to look at Ephesians 2. If you don't have your finger there, I'll read it for you. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." And that's what the gospel is all about. God seeing a sinful man and sending His Son to reach down into the muck and mire and lift him up. And that's what we see here in this man. Now, the Bible says that he had his dwelling among the tombs. And I'm reminded of don't let me gross you out tonight, but a memory from my childhood. My great-granddaddy had a pond. And, of course, every boy likes to go fishing. My little three-year-old is starting to bug me about taking him fishing now. And I suppose we will do that sooner or later. But my granddaddy's pond was mainly moss, and there was some catfish in there. But the thing we liked to catch were the frogs, great big bullfrogs. And the reason we would is we'd take them home, and Granny would fry the legs up. Now, how many of you have had fried fish legs? All right, frog legs, sorry, not fish legs. Fish don't have legs, that's right.
fried frog legs. And so you know what I'm talking about. Now, if you've not seen them prepared, though, what I'm going to explain to you is not going to make much sense. You see, Granny would batter those legs up, and she had put them in the pan. Now, it was just the legs. There's no frog there. But what do they do when the heat starts hitting them? They start moving, don't they? And we were horrified as young boys to see, oh, the frog's still alive. Now, was the frog alive? No, the frog was not alive. There was action, there was movement, but there was no life. And that's the state we find ourselves in without Christ. We wonder why a lost and dying world does some of the depraved things they do. And there's movement, there's activity there, but it's because there's no life. And we need to recognize if we can just get them to Jesus, He'll quicken them and all their problems will be solved. You know, there's nothing about our country, nothing about this world that can't be solved by getting the gospel into the hearts and lives of men and women. That's the true answer for our country. If we can have a revival and see people saved, everything else will fix itself. I believe that. And so this man had his dwelling among the tombs. Let's also see that he was dominated by an unclean spirit. This man was not in his right mind. He was controlled by Satan. Satan motivated him. And we see that the people had tried to bind him there with chains and fetters, but nothing could bind him on the outside because he was hopelessly bound on the inside. And sometimes we look at this man and we're turned off. I mean, I use my imagination, I'm turned off by the picture. Here's a man, a crazy man, running out of the graveyard with his hair, no doubt, uncut, and his body unbathed and no clothes, and he's cutting himself and there's sores and blood all over his body. A horrible picture of sin. And yet if we can look beyond what we see in this passage and think of perhaps he had a wife. Perhaps he had children that cried in the night. Why doesn't daddy come home, mom? And the mother that cried because she couldn't explain why daddy did the things that he did. We know that he had a mother that cradled him as a baby. He had a father. Perhaps his father had high hopes for his son. But instead of becoming an upstanding citizen, he was the outcast of that part of the country. Sin has a personal nature to it, doesn't it? It affects people. And if we're going to reach a sinful world, we've got to see sin as a personal thing. It's got to be our personal enemy. We've got to feel the effects and be willing to reach out with the truth, with the answer. Now, the disciples, no doubt, they were shocked by what they saw. And keep in mind, they had been ministering with Jesus on the other side of the sea. The disciples had not been on the side of the sea there in the Gadarenes. They'd been in Galilee with their friends and with their family. And Jesus was doing a wonderful work. He was teaching and he was healing. And these were their friends and their neighbors. And then there came a point in chapter 4 where Jesus said, "Let us pass over to the other side." You see, the Savior didn't only want to reach the people on this side of the sea. He had a people, he had a person on the other side of the sea that needed to be reached. And no doubt the disciples said, "Now Jesus, wait a second. We've got a ministry on this side of the sea. These are our friends. These are the Jews. These are God's people. And there's so much more that can be done here. Maybe someday down the road we'll go across the sea, but let's stay right here." And you know, that's the attitude many of us have today. There is a great need in our country. But there's also people in a far distant land crying for the answer. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to take them the gospel. Somebody has got to take sin personal and be willing to sacrifice and go. That's why our family's going to go to Mongolia, because there is a need there. There is a need there. But that's not the only reason we're going to go to Mongolia. I want us to see, first, the personal nature of sin, but secondly, the power of sin. Of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad the story does not end here with the man out of his mind and all the depravity that we see. But Jesus had said unto him, "Come out of the man," speaking to those unclean spirits. And when Jesus speaks, it's powerful. Can you remember the time when Jesus saw you in your need and he spoke and it was peace, be still? You know, the disciples, they had gotten into the boat. We look back here to chapter 4 and verse 36. When they'd sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. Now notice that phrase there. Arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now get this. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and they said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Our Master has a powerful voice, not only to reach people in their depravity, but you know what? He's got all the power to get us to them, doesn't he? You know, the disciples, they were worried about their personal safety. And I've heard so many messages on how God takes care of His people. I believe that's true. But let's keep in mind the purposes here. Jesus knew that there was a man on the other side of the sea. And as long as there was a purpose for Him and His disciples to go and speak peace to that man, no storm was going to get in His way. And we can have that faith today. If we're in the center of God's will, we're invincible until He's done with us. And it doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what our health is like. It doesn't matter what trials of our faith we may face. If we're in the boat with Jesus, we can smile in the storm, can't we? With Jesus in the boat, we can smile in the storm. And that's why Jesus was so surprised. He said, let us go to the other side. It wasn't a three-hour tour, if you know what I mean. It wasn't a pleasure cruise. Jesus knew that there was a purpose. And He thought His disciples, no doubt, had grasped that purpose, that there was someone to minister to on the other side. Remember, He had called them fishers of men. And yet the disciples had no faith. Jesus said, have faith. And we can trust God and just be faithful to do. That's why we're going to Mongolia, because we know God's going to go with us. We know that we serve a powerful Master, and He's not going to let anything happen to us that's not in His plan. He's going to guide us and prepare the way before us. He's going to protect us, and He's going to make us effective. Because there are some mad men, mad women there in Mongolia that need to hear the gospel. They need to be set free. Now let's look at verse 9. We've seen the personal nature of sin. We've seen the power of Jesus Christ. And now I'd like us to see the potential of a single soul. Jesus said to him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Verse 9, and He asked him, what is thy name? And he, the man, answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now, there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Let me pause right there and say, you want to shake up this world? You allow God to do a work in your life and then allow Him to use you to do a work in someone else's life. And when they see a life changed, they don't know how to explain that. That's a scary thing to someone who doesn't understand our God. It's something that shakes them up. And these people were shaken up. And notice, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Verse 17. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed of the devil, he had a little different take. He prayed him that he might be with him. A good sign of salvation is the desire to be with Christ. And howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed to begin to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. This man went and he left the seashore there and he traveled back to town. And I just can't help but use my imagination a little bit. Here this man had terrorized the people of these little villages for so long. Anytime someone passed by, and yet this time he's clothed and in his right mind. And I can see the shocked look on their faces as he begins to explain that the difference is a man called Jesus. He's the Son of God. He can save you from your sins. He can reach into your life and fix what's wrong with you. And I can see him coming home to his wife. And I can see him coming home to his children. And the joy that's on their faces as he tells them of Jesus Christ and the difference that's been made in his life. But the Bible says he couldn't contain himself. And he went through all those parts and begin to tell all men about how Jesus had made the difference, and all men did marvel. But the story doesn't stop there. We see later on in the gospel record, later on in this book, that Jesus came back to Decapolis. Jesus came back to those lands, and instead of praying him to depart, they thronged him, and he healed many, and many believed on his name. Why? Because of the potential of a single soul. That's why we're going to Mongolia, because if we reach just one soul, the potential for them to reach another soul, who reach other souls, is so great that we can't afford to miss the opportunity. Not only do we need to see the personal nature of sin, we need to take it seriously in our own lives and in the lives of others in our society. We need to see the power of Jesus Christ, that He can change men and women. And then we need to see the potential of a single soul. Oh, if we could grasp those three thoughts, I believe that we'd do more, we'd pray more, we'd give more tracts out, we'd invite more people to church, we wouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, as we'd said earlier. We'd be faithful to Him. We have His promise, don't we? Acts for, chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, you know, I'll finish with this. God loves to do the supernatural in us, and then He loves to do the supernatural through us. So many times we think about, what can we do for God? What can I do for God? And God certainly wants us to do some things for Him. But you know, it's when it comes to ministry, that's really not what it's all about. Do you want what God can do, or what you can do for God, or do you want what God can do through you? That's so much more than what we can give Him. Or we may look at our wallet, or we may look at our talents, or we may look at the time we have to offer and say, I don't have much to give to God. God's not interested in what you can give Him. God is interested in possessing you and using you and going through you to reach a lost and dying world. And God can do supernatural things through us if we'll yield ourselves to Him. This is not about us. This is a God thing, if you'll pardon the expression. God wants to use us in a special way, and it comes down to our faith, doesn't it? What are we willing to believe that God can do in our generation? What are we willing to believe that God can do in our world? He's asked us to simply obey, doesn't He? What are some things we can do? Well, we can go and tell for sure. We can give of our time and our talent and our treasure. I know many of you do. I'm just saying these are the things God has given us that we can do. Or we can also pray and intercede for our missionaries. We can pray and intercede for our community and ask God to do something special. Send us revival. Reach people in our day. But after we do all that we can do, that's where God takes over, isn't it? And if we'll let Him, He'll do something special in through us. And then He gets the glory, doesn't it? Doesn't He? It's so exciting to be a part of this thing of worldwide missions. So you ask us, why are we going to Mongolia? Why are you going out into Daytona Beach to reach others? Because sin is a personal thing. Because Jesus Christ is all-powerful. And because there's so much potential in a single human soul. And let's think about those things. Let's bow for prayer. Pastor, I don't know how you want to handle the invitation, but I'd just like to pray, and then you can come and do whatever you think is best. I know this has been short, but you know, sometimes if you lack quality, it's good to make up with that with brevity. And so we're just so grateful that you've allowed us to share our heart today, and you've just welcomed us in. I'm so sorry we just have today to be with you, and yet we're grateful to know that you'll be praying for us as we continue. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.